Today we will be studying Tehillim chapter 96, Tzadik Vav. Shiru LaHashem Shir Chadash. You will notice that this opening is identical to the opening of the 98th Psalm, and both are parts of a major symphony sung as part of Kabbalat Shabbat every Friday night. Shmot Rabbah takes note of the fact that it is called Shir and Chadash, a new song, and Rashi explains that a new song always means something about the future, a future of a new world, a new country, a new stage of life that has not yet existed. Ibn Ezra tells us that the duplication, Shiru LaHashem Shir Chadash, Shiru LaHashem Kol Haaretz, is to indicate that this is something that we should do in the future, but even now, as well as always. However, Chazal take a notation of the fact that this is called Shir and not Shira. You will notice, of course, that we have Shirat Hayam, the song that Am Yisrael sang at the shore of the Red Sea after it had split. Shirat Dvorah, that Dvorah HaNeviah, the prophetess, sang after the victory of Am Yisrael against Sisra and his hordes. Shirat Chana, the song of Chana, that she composed after the birth of Shmuel, the long-awaited son. And they tell us, Kol Shir is about Atid Lavo, a future that has yet to come. Why? For the songs that occur in the world as we know it is at best Shira. Since the word song appears both in the feminine Shira as well as in the masculine Shir, they indicate that Shira indicates the weakness of the fairer sex. Kli Yakar clarifies that medrash and explains to us that the female has every joy in her life accompanied with pain, as women who have given birth so readily know. That this world, as we know it, has no celebration that did not require tears and sweat and a lot of struggle to attain the final happiness. But la'atid lavo b'yemot ha-mashiach, it will be a shir, a joy that does not preceded, that has no, that is not preceded by pain or sorrow. Yeshayahu the prophet in the 65th chapter tells us, Hinini bore shamayim chadashim ve'eretz chadasha. God declares, I shall yet create a new heaven and a new earth. Most mefarshim absolutely avoid the literal explanation as if this world as we know it will implode or explode and be destroyed and a new one created in its place out of nothing. But rather, Rashi says this is nothing more than a metaphor to indicate that the princes of Israel will become superior to the princes of other nations, and that, as a result, will be a new world unlike anything that we currently see. Current being that Am Yisrael is subjugated to other nations. Ibn Ezra, on the other hand, argues that the new heavens that will be created by Yemot HaMashiach is an indication that there will be a better year, a better climate. Where? In Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Chadasha, a new earth, is that the Ribono Shel'Olam will return to the land of Israel, its former fecundity, its former fertility, so that it can again be called Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. And as a result, he tells us people will live longer and will have old age in good health and in happiness. If that's the case, says Abarbanel, it is not new heavens, not new earth, nor a new song, but rather a renewal of the earth, a renewal of the heavens, and a renewal of the songs, to remind us again of our redemption from Egypt, where God revealed himself after so many years of golus, of no homeland, of oppression, of slavery. And at that time, with the redemption of Am Yisrael, a special protection will come again to Am Yisrael, one unseen since Yitziat Mitzrayim, bringing joy and happiness with a renewal of prophecy, a renewal of freedom, a renewal of the inheritance of the land of Israel, and a revival of the very soil itself in the land of Israel, so it will again flow with milk and honey, and a ingathering of the children of Zion to her, to this new land, or to this new renewed land, an ingathering with joy as opposed to with tears. They view this particular psalm as a paean to that time, a time perhaps that we are beginning to see unfolding in front of our eyes. The 96th psalm opens a chain of psalms that are filled with optimism that arises from deep faith in Hashem and in the prophecies that he gave us through the great prophets of Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, who told us of how a nation would rise up again from the dry bones. This mizmor picks up where the 95th began. And though the previous mizmor ended with a gloomy tone, warning us of the fate of those who would not heed God's word, this psalm provides unadulterated joy at a vision of a new world to come, undoubtedly. Psalm 95 declared, Hashem Melech Gadol Al Kol Elohim. This psalm declares, Imru Bagoyim, Hashem Malach, declare among the nations that God has reigned, widening the circle of God's reign from his chosen people to all humanity. The following psalm, 97, opens with a similar refrain, Hashem Malach, Tagel Haaretz. And Psalm 98 again will declare, Bechatzotzot v'kol shofar, with trumpets and the blaring of the shofar, Hariu lifnei Hamelech Hashem. You may cheer the coming of the King God. Psalm 99, Hashem Malach Yirgezu Amim. Hashem reigns and all nations will tremble. These chapters can be seen as movements within one coronation symphony, where a theme is developed, expanded, and rises to a crescendo. Though there are variations on the theme, there is unquestionable unity in the distinct parts as God's reign expands from Am Yisrael to the cosmos and ultimately encompasses and unifies all nations in the worship of one God. As we focus on Tzadik Vav on this psalm, we note that part A opens with a three-part description of the word with three times, Shiru, Shiru, Shiru. The poet turns to Am Yisrael and to all of the various factions therein. Shiru LaHashem, Kol HaAretz, all of Eretz Yisrael, all of the tribes, all of the various parts of this one nation, joined together to sing. In this case, Kol HaAretz means Eretz Yisrael, as indicated by the following verse. Sapru bagoyim kvodo, bechol ha'amim nifleotav. Go tell amongst the nations of his great honor. Declare amongst all peoples his wonders. For Am Yisrael is to be Mamlechet Kohanim Vegoy Kadosh, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, whose mission is not to proselytize, but to witness and tell, through the life they live, the honor of God and his wonders, that Hashem is great and more powerful than all other deities. Ki gadol Hashem umehulal meod norahu al kol Elohim. Here too, the word Elohim is not a term for God, but a term for idols, the idols worshipped by various peoples, be they pagan gods, be they various ideologies, be they the forces of nature, or celebrities, or political leaders, and philosophers. Tell of God's honor that overrides all other gods, and tell of his kavod, says Radak, the honor that he bestowed upon Israel after so many centuries in which they were derided, defamed, and depressed in Golos. At this point, we enter part B. With part B, beginning in verse 7, we hear, instead of the three times, Shiru, 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 we hear, Havu LaHashem Mishpechot Amim, Havu LaHashem Kavod Va'oz, Havu LaHashem Kavod Shemo, Se'u mincha uvo lechatzrotav. Havu means give, says Rashi. Can we give God honor that he doesn't already have? Says Sforno, a tribute honor to God. And Malbim says, prepare yourself for the honor of God, for the honor and the force of God that will be revealed to all nations. And the psalm ends with all creation, even the fields and the forest, joining in the celebration for God's coming to judge the entire universe. Can the judgment of God cause joy and celebration rather than fear and trepidation? That will be discussed when we learn Perek Tzadikhet, the 98th Psalm in Mirtz Hashem.